Norma Uren from Little Folk School at Redmond Assembly.
Okay, I was going to talk to you a little bit about the responsibilities of an administrator. And part of that goes into the ministry, I think. I don't see how you can separate the two of them. But I thought and thought and thought about what I was going to say, and I thought the only thing I can really tell you is from my own experience and what my responsibilities are. And I think possibly any place that you would go to, you would find that your responsibilities are different depending upon how much your CE director does and how much he expects you to do. But I started with just listing a few things, and after listing them all, I decided I needed a raise because I sure do a lot more than I thought I did. You know, it doesn't sound like you do very much. You know, you just say, oh, gee, I just kind of am in charge of this school, you know, but it ends up being endless. One of the things that is a really big area is that you're responsible for supplies, and I find that this is kind of a never-ending job. This includes, like, making sure there's enough enrollment forms around and health forms and field trip permission slips and all these things that seem like they're there. You think you've got them on hand, and the next thing you know, they're gone. And that's your responsibility to make sure that they're there. Oftentimes, I even type them myself and run them off. And purchasing all of our equipment. I buy all the equipment for the school. I buy all the art materials, paper materials, paints, food supplies for the cook. So that in itself can end up being a really big job. I'm also directly responsible for keeping everything that we do at the school within the rules of the state of Washington. So I have to make sure that the menu the cook plans is okay. So then in that aspect, you become a dietitian to a degree. I'm also directly responsible for the safety and maintenance of all of our equipment. So if something is broken, they tell me if I don't know about it, and I'm the one that has to find somebody to fix it if I'm not capable of doing it myself. Also, I'm the direct liaison between the church and the school. And depending upon how enthusiastic your church is about your school will kind of make a difference how big of a job that part of it becomes. We have a really good working relationship at our church, but I know in previous years when a few people decided, you know, let's have a daycare, and not everybody at the church thought it was a good idea, there were a lot of real big problems, very unhappy Sunday school teachers, and then Monday morning, very unhappy daycare teachers, because nobody liked the way the room was being left for them. And so this means contact with your Sunday school teachers, or you could do this through your CE director too. It kind of depends on the way yours works out. But I know when we have complaints, I usually talk to our CE director, and then he in turn will make sure at Sunday school teachers' meetings or children's church meetings that these people, you know, understand that are part of the church as a ministry too. Oftentimes, I think the feeling was in previous years that this was a few people's little thing over here, but the direct responsibility of the church was the Sunday school and the children's church, and this was just a few little group of people doing their own thing. And I think we've gotten them around so that they've changed their minds and decided that this really is ministry, and that we have children there, you know, 11 hours a day, 5 days a week, so it becomes a real mind-changing and like a life-shaping job almost more than a Sunday school does. So because of this change in attitude, it's helped us a lot because they've been more willing to work with us. And what we usually do is we try and leave the room how they want it Sunday morning. And we, in turn, hope they will leave the room the way we want it on Monday morning. Because oftentimes your teacher can come in Monday morning. I have spent many a Monday morning thinking I was there plenty early, spending an hour cleaning up after Sunday school, you know, picking up papers and color crayons underneath the chairs and just generally rearranging the room the way that we need it. So that can be a big responsibility, keeping both areas real happy. Then the another part, and this is part of it, but public communication and our public relations, and that has to do with like your community image. I handle all the advertising for the school. If we have, like, at the beginning of the year, if you need new students and this kind of thing, and also keeping your families happy. And a lot of the ministry comes into that part of it in your direct relationship with the families. And we have found that our best advertising for our school comes from a happy family who has had their child at school. So this, you know, becomes kind of an important job. Oftentimes the teacher is busy when a new student arrives, or if she's got 8 children there already, it's kind of hard maybe her to drop the one whose shoes she's tying or whatever she's doing to race over and greet the one who came in the door. So I kind of make that my job of being the official hello, wishing the mother a happy day as she leaves for work, and making her feel like somebody did see that Mary or Johnny came in the door. You know, it wasn't that they were too busy to do that. So I kind of make that my job. Then you are also a personnel manager, besides being some of those other things, in that you're directly responsible for hiring and firing of all your employees, or at least I am. Firing, I think I would probably consult with the CE director before I had to do that, mainly because after a short time, if the people weren't your friends before, they are by the time you work with them for a while. So firing becomes a real touchy situation, shall we say. But any employee problems are my responsibility. If I feel someone is really not doing their job, it's up to me to have to tell them in a nice way that I really love them, but they're not doing their job. It's my responsibility to check the curriculum of each teacher. And we have preschool besides daycare in separate parts of the building. So I line up and check the preschool teacher's curriculum and the daycare teacher's curriculum, just to make sure that there won't be anything there that maybe people in the church would be unhappy about, since we really are a part of the church, and to make sure that the children are really getting a well-balanced program and not the teacher isn't off on some fly-by-night thing, or that she's not letting the children just sit and play all day long, but she really is doing something with them. Handling any special problems with children, usually I'm the one that does the major disciplining. Most of the minor disciplining is done right in the classroom, but if there's a pretty major offense, it sometimes is better to take the teacher out that's deeply involved in the situation. And so problem children become my job also. You know, usually I don't go much beyond a stern talking to, but sometimes just having someone different talk to them about the situation will usually iron it out. Then part of that under personnel management also comes up setting up schedules for all employees and wages and that kind of thing, mostly like who comes in when they go home, how many days they can work. If somebody can't be is sick, they call me and I have to find somebody to work for them. That's basically most of it. A big area that we've had that's been a little bit of a problem is that we started out with like one student in October in our daycare. And so you have a real different kind of a setup. Now we have 23. And some of them come at some time and go at others. And it seems like all of a sudden there's more children there after 12 o'clock than there ever were before. You know, we went for months and one person was sufficient. Well, then within like a week, we had to have 2 people there like 3 days a week. And then next week, we had to have 2 people there 5 days a week. And so it's kind of hiring people on the spur of the moment and saying, do you want to work? How about 2 days a week? And then you call them back the next week and say, how about 5 days a week? And one of them started out, I think she started working from 9 to 12, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Well, now she works Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday from 9 till when we're down below 10 children. So instead of working like 15 hours a week, she's working more like 30 hours a week. And so this couldn't be a problem, you know, when you grow quickly like that. And you have to, luckily we've had some people that are real flexible on their time and it's worked out pretty good. But sometimes getting all that work together and remembering who wants what day off for something special, getting someone to take their place can be a problem. Okay, another part of my job is that I'm the bookkeeper. And that's the hardest part for me. Here I thought I was going to be a bookkeeper when I graduated. That's what I went into. And for some reason, the bookkeeping is the part that always bogs me down. But you're the payroll clerk, and that includes understanding Social Security and withholding and making sure you figure it accurately and every month sending a payment into the federal people and quarterly reports for the Internal Revenue, all those things that I had never done before all of a sudden were my job. And it worked out fine. I prayed a lot that day because I just kept thinking, oh, you know, sometimes those Internal Revenue forms, you can read them and read them and read them, and you're never sure that you really read it right, you know. So I enclosed a little note with mine last time that said, if I did this wrong, I'm sure you'll let me know. But it wasn't intentional. I handle the checkbook. Besides the pastor, I'm the only one that's authorized to sign checks. And so it's up to me to keep that better than I keep my home one and making sure that it's always right. I send a monthly financial report to the board every month. And on that, I list like our income for the month and our expenditures and where they went, you know, how much for food and how much for supplies and how much for salaries and this type of thing. And then the balance that we have at the end of the month. And usually in that, so that they don't think we have a lot of money if our balance is big, I I try and include things like we have people that pay in advance, believe it or not. And so, you know, if part of March's tuition is in February's checkbook, then I have to list that so that they understand that. And sometimes I think that usually when I send in the monthly report, oftentimes we'll send a letter with, like, maybe a letter that we've sent home to the parents during the month, so that the board, even though they aren't at school, get a direct idea of what we're doing. And, you know, like, just to see a supply figure of $30 doesn't mean an awful lot to them. But if you send a little note along, you know, enumerating, you know, that this month you were studying the fire station, the police station, and part of that expense was buying plastic fire hats or, you know, whatever it happened to be that you bought that month to help with your unit, I think they maybe are a little more understanding of your expenditures if you explain them. Anyway, so in other words, I'm directly responsible for all the money. And I have yet to have anybody really complain about what I spend anything on. But so far it's worked out. I guess that's about all I can say. I'm also responsible for the individual children's ledgers and their daily signing sheets. When the children come in the morning, their parents sign them in, and their parents sign them out and initial it. That way, if you have a parent that says, wait a minute, you know, they were only here from 9 to 4:40 instead of 9 to 5, you can say, well, let's look up that day, and got it there, and they've initialed it, so they can't argue over the fact that somebody wrote them in or out at the wrong time. But then after you get those sheets, all of that has to be computed on an individual ledger for each child. So that takes me probably about 4 or 5 hours a week just to do that and record checks in the receipt book and make sure that they get all credited to the right accounts and stuff. So there really is a lot of bookkeeping involved, unless your operation is big enough that you can afford a bookkeeper. But I would think most of them, we have 80 children all together in our preschool and daycare, and we can't afford a separate bookkeeper. So, you know, you'd have to have a lot of children, I think, before you really had enough money that you could warrant a separate bookkeeper. There may be occasions where the church treasurer would possibly do some of it, like your payroll and that type of thing. It depends on how your church is set it up, but we do all ours individually. Okay, then, I think I mentioned, I guess I'm going ahead of my notes. Okay, then I'm also directly responsible for planning goals for next year. And this time of year, that becomes really a big item. Like, are you going to make changes? If you have more children than you're licensed for one particular room, are you going to expand? Are you going to keep the teachers that you have? Are you going to let them go? It's a lot of evaluating of your situation, of your supplies, what you didn't like this year and what you did like, and that type of thing. I spend a lot of time talking to the CE director lately about what we're going to do next year. It seems like preschool in our area is just booming, and we have already got children signed up and paid for next fall already because they want to make sure they get in. So instead of running 4 preschool classes, I kind of think we'll probably be running 6 maybe, which means hiring another teacher. And a whole other set of equipment, and it's a pretty, makes your summer very busy. So, you know, oftentimes daycare centers don't run during the summer, and I'm not sure that we will or not, but that's one part of the job that I think my husband always gets. It's maybe his pet peeve that I end up working all summer long, but I don't get paid because I'm only paid, you know, when the children are there and when the money's coming in. And in the summer, when the money's coming in, you can hardly start drawing a salary because pretty soon all your supply money would be gone. But basically, I spend my summer purchasing supplies, painting rooms, buying new equipment, and spending a lot of time on the phone registering students. So that's really a big job. I do all the registering of students when they phone, you know, talk to the parents, tell them what our program is, what we do, what they can expect from our school, what we expect from them, that type of thing. Then in the ministry part of it, I think the biggest part is to the child, naturally, because you have them there every day. And this part really thrills me. I've got one teacher who works in the afternoon, and every day she can just hardly wait. She comes in. She used to teach sixth grade, and she always thought that this would be, she found herself getting too emotionally involved with her students. She taught in a lower income area, and she just, you know, she ended up wanting to take them all home and give them baths and, you know, the whole bit. So she just decided she couldn't handle it. And so she thought, well, she'd drop to a lower age children and it wouldn't be so hard. And she finds herself doing the same thing. That's just the kind of person she is, I think. But she is, just gets so terribly excited about the fact that the difference between a sixth grade child and the preschooler in the area of molding their lives. And I think when you consider, especially daycare over preschool, you've got this child all day long. Nobody's going to teach them manners but you. And nobody's going to teach them respect for their mom and for other children and for other leadership and teachers but you. And so it really becomes a very, very important job. And I used to teach in a co-op that was sponsored by the Bellevue Community College, and it was not a Christian school. And I just, it was so hard, you know, to be a Christian and be in a group where they said, you cannot, you know, write in the contract, you cannot talk about God, and you cannot teach any religion, you know, quote unquote. And I think that's the part that is so thrilling about a Christian daycare and preschool, is that you have such an opportunity to form their attitude toward the Lord. And to, you know, you may not see anything for years, but you've created an openness there, you know, and a right thought about God and who He is. Some of these children maybe would never hear about Him, you know, other than through a swear word, or, you know, we'll let our kids decide when they're 21. A lot of people feel that way. But we've found that we have children coming to our Sunday school now that 6 and 7 years ago were in our daycare, and they are now coming on their own to Sunday school. Their parents don't come, and they come on their own, which is really exciting, you know, to see that they've remembered. They have fond thoughts of our church, and I think this is really important. And I know we spend most of our time in everything that we do, we bring the Lord into it, because He is part of your daily life, and it's pretty hard to separate Him. But this aspect is really neat, and the children have become, on their own, have started asking questions now about God, which is really quite rewarding. What one little boy said today, said, I wish that devil would just get good and quit doing all those bad things he makes me do. He said, every time he does something bad, it's the devil made me do it, you know. But he keeps saying that, and he's very sincere, and he is a real problem child. They took him out of kindergarten because they couldn't handle him, and they're thinking about putting him in psychological treatment at the University of Washington. He's been kicked out of the Montessori school and several other daycares, and for some reason he's just flourishing at our school, and nobody can understand why, but we really know why, you know. We spend a lot of time praying for that little boy, and during nap time when somebody rubs his back, you know, I've told them now, when you're there, you spend your time praying for him. When you can't talk to him, but you're trying to rub his back, and we've just seen some really good changes in him, so that's really exciting, you know. And usually he's gotten to the point now that if he does hit a child or do something mean, and you can talk to him, you know, about it, he'll say, oh, God didn't want me to do that, I know I shouldn't have. And so he's beginning to realize that God can help him control his behavior, which is really exciting. Then part of the ministry to parents, and oftentimes this is a part that kind of frustrates me, because you're there all day with this child and you wish you could get the parent to see what's happening and to feel what you're feeling toward the child. And I have found in teaching preschool in the difference between a private and a co-op, at least in a co-op, you've got the parent there maybe one day a week, and you have a chance to relate to them and really know them. But I have this inadequate feeling of not really knowing my parents, you know. And I think this is a really big problem. Some of them don't want you to know them, to tell you the truth. Some of them are really open, and a lot of them I've sent notes home with and said, you know, we've been having a little problem with so-and-so, you know, why don't you call me after dinner tonight so we can talk about it, because maybe we can work this out together. And a lot of it has to be with notes, because sometimes they come before I get there and they leave after I go home, and so it's sometimes hard to have direct contact with them. But we do have conferences with each parent toward the end of the year, and I think this is a really important time. And usually, like in daycare, it has to be evenings or Saturday type of thing. The teacher just has to make themselves available for this. But it's a really good time to let the parent know what you've done for the child and what you feel their changes have been in the year, and maybe things that she could do at home to maybe help the situation a little bit better. And then we do have like a program at Christmas time that we plan, and at that time we talk to the parents and the kids, do their little songs and poems and stuff. And then at the end of the year, the children make lunch for their moms one day, those that can get away from work, which is really fun. And then they go back downstairs to play, and I usually talk to the parents about getting ready for school next year and some of the things that they can do to help their children. I really appreciated what that one fellow said at that seminar that we had. I can't remember his name, from California. Yes, yes. About how he said the weekly Bible studies with parents, and I thought, oh, you know, that is really neat. And I talked to him a little bit, just a few minutes afterwards, about it. And he said, I asked him if he just advertised it as, you know, come to a Bible study, because I'm not sure how many preschool non-Christian parents would flock into this Bible study once a week, you know. And he says, well, I wouldn't label it a Bible study to start with. You know, you can have it a coffee sharing time or something. And you know, if you want to talk about your child or some problems you've been having and discuss it, then you can kind of briefly get into, you know, I'd like to read a chapter of the Word before you go, and next time you can maybe sneak in a couple of chapters, and before you know it, you've got this great Bible study going, and they didn't even know it, you know, because most people are really interested in talking about their children. And I think daycare parents especially have a real job, you know, that, I mean, working parents, because they go to work all day, and I know myself, even with my children, when I get home, I'm tired, you know, I want to relax for a while. Here you've got this child who hasn't seen you all day long and demanding all your time. So I think all the help that we can give to the parents through conferences, through, I send home flyers, you know, like, this is your child in the four-year-old stage, and we send home a thing about the conference that we've been to, about some hints that we'd heard, you know, things that would maybe help. And oftentimes these things bring responses from parents. You know, I've had several of them stop and say, hey, you know, I really appreciated that thing that you sent home. You know, now I know my child's normal, you know. Other kids are doing this too, you know. But if it's a first child, each stage is, unless they really are interested in the early childhood education, each stage can be, you know, gastronomical. They just don't understand why the child is doing these things. So that's basically what I was going to tell you. I hope that's what you wanted. And if you have any questions, I don't know. I guess I'm finished. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think usually both of us are there. Mm-hmm. We have a form that we fill out that's about 2 or 3 pages long, and it goes through things like muscle development, and then it lists, you know, 5 or 6 different areas, skillful, fairly good, having problems, and this kind of thing, and then it goes through relationships with other children, attitude toward the teacher, self-concept, all these things, and it's kind of a multiple choice thing, and the teacher will go through and fill that out, and answer and fill in like a comment at the bottom. And then now I have one teacher that she's terrific with kids, but she's scared to death of the parent. So she does her conference sheets and I conference with the parent, because she just, you know, she gets all tongue-tied and feels very inadequate around the parent. So in that instance, she and I, you know, or in any instance, we would discuss it you know, and I'd say, now, you know, what do you mean by this if I don't know the child myself? Most of the time I know the child too, but maybe not quite as well as the teacher does. So the teacher would fill out the conference check sheet, and then I would usually give the conference, because oftentimes they come like when a teacher needs to be busy. Okay. Anything else?
Oh, I'm getting acquainted. Yeah. She's getting acquainted with everybody. It's normal. Well, you must feel free to come and visit us sometime. Come and visit a class. We'd love to have you. We have some people who are working in religious education in the district who are going to be visiting our classes. I invited them.
Lorraine Corr.
And the teachers in this class. Be very happy to have you. We really do appreciate them being able to come with us. It was very good. Very good. I'm sure it was very contributory.
She certainly does. Really?
Children are there, you know what I mean? They come in, or pretty soon you hear somebody screaming, and the teacher's on the other side of the room, so you have
have to dash in and intercept the fire. Or zip somebody's pants, or what, you know, it's unending. I think the same gentleman was talking about the private office. Well, you know, if I had an office down the hall.
I don't have an office.
Well, I just have an office, but it's right there, with you know, next to the room, and you can hear all the noise all the time. So oftentimes I'll have to, you know, add a call 4 or 5 times because I've been interrupted so many times that I. So that's why I left. Well, they've got enough empty rooms there, but so many of them are being used for Sunday school, so it's a matter of, you know, working a desk, sitting there, and disturb the Sunday school class.
Yeah, but if you're going to do that much work, you need to have some new
chairs. Lord, do you hear that one?
I'm afraid he's going to tell me I should quit teaching over there and just be an administrator, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah, now what is your background? Do you have an AA in
your room? No, I don't. This is, I've taken preschool leadership training.
Oh.
That's all I've taken. And I have been trying for 2 years
sufficient
to take a night class. But the ones that I've wanted.
Don't you want to take some classes here?
Yeah, I really would, but I want it to be a night class.
Well, we're going to have Marinette next quarter.
Oh, too. Yeah. Is that a night class? Yeah, in fact, several of the gals that are teaching would like to take night classes, but it's
but
you know,
the experience is valuable.
Yeah, I think the experience is part of it, and I don't know, I'm kind of trying to be a kind of organized person, and I think it's just the Lord, because for some reason it's just, you know, everything that I have to do, for some reason I know how to do it, you know, and...
Well, you have a lot of common sense.
I mean, if somebody told me why I did this with a child, I'd have to really stop and think about why I did it, but... The more I feel that I need for things like psychology classes and, you know, with problem children, this type of thing. But I think one of the things, I think it was Mr. Barr that talked about this at the seminar, that, you know, he hopes they don't make the requirements so strict that the person who's got the natural ability and yet not the education won't be able to work in this field.
We have such a good option.
Yeah, because now Mrs. Hagen, the government teaches a 3-year-old class. So she's taking the same class I have taken, and that's all. But she has 5 children of her own, and if you could watch her with those kids, she's just beautiful. I mean, she never gets upset about anything. She's so calm.
Mrs. Hagen.
I adore Hagen.
That sounds familiar.
Probably it does.
But, you know...
Hagen?
That's just how she is. You could have. She was at that conference, and maybe I introduced you. Yeah. But you know that you can take someone who's really had it, like the gal who teaches who's the A in the afternoon. She's the one that's taught 6th grade. You know, and yet oftentimes she doesn't know how to step in and handle the problem, but she hasn't maybe had the practical experience too.
Right.
I think
that's
the key. So experience.
Once you've got a background, you know the
That's why I encourage everybody who takes any courses to take practicum, because girls in practicum just get so much, don't they, Barbara? All those kids over there, we just had a marvelous observation over there, Eastside Free Methodist. We have one gal, I won't mention any names, we have one gal who just could not transfer from religious education to this kind of education situation, and she was hyper, didn't know how to do that, and so on and so forth. We talked to her, we prayed with her, and she is doing beautifully. She just shocked me to death when I was there yesterday. She's just opening up and relaxing and being herself and ministering to the kids, and wow! When I wrote up her evaluation, I put down, I said, wonderful things are happening to this girl. I don't understand it, but I know what's going on. And her supervisor, you know, her immediate supervisor over there, I'm her instructional supervisor, her immediate supervisor over there had a talk with her too and pointed out some of the things that she just could not do, you know, and things that she had to improve on. And I didn't know how well received it would be, because, you know, that's kind of sticky sometimes with personalities, especially somebody who's had a lot of experience working with children. So here we were with a girl who's had a lot of experience working with children.
and we both had confidence in her, and we prayed for her, and she is just doing amazing. I wish that practice would go on for her for at least 6 more months, because she just needs it, and she's one who isn't going to take practicum too, and I feel terrible. Because she needs it more than anybody needs it. She needs it.
Don't you think a lot of it is with some people is losing their self-consciousness and feelings of inadequacy possibly to learn too, but it can be so open and if you just learn the fact that they don't care, and you know, if you maybe don't sing on a key or this, you know, they just want you to just really be yourself. You know, I find that the bigger I am and the more I throw myself into what they're doing, the more they love it, you know, and just forget that there's another teacher in the room, and if she thinks you're enough, well, I think she's doing that, you know, but the children are really enjoying it, and I find that the teachers, I've got one that I feel is the same way, you know, she knows it all, but she just can't relate to the children, you know, and she does her job, and she's an aide, you know, so she doesn't really have to do as much as the teacher, but she could make it so much more than she is, but she tends to be a little self-conscious, you know, during music time, she's sitting there like this, you know, barely singing, and, you know, she just get in and do it. You know, she'd love it.
This girl's just the opposite. She always stimulates the kids.
Oh, does she?
She's so excited. She's at this high pitch all the time from evangelistic work. And she's at this high pitch all the time. And one of the little girls looked up every morning and says, "Did you like it?" So she's like, "Huh? I'm doing something wrong."
You know, because you don't have to stimulate.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, it's a wonderful world, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. They make the world. It's just wonderful. They turn me on. When I see them, I'm more open. They're just so precious between the ages of nothing and five.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they have scares more.
I wish I could be in the desert. Yeah. I don't think they have more. All of mine are going to come bigger.
Yeah.
Like my college students. Those will be my kids, I'm sure. But, they'll have to do some instruments. But it's really precious. It's a wonderful thing. So we will pray for you.
Thank you.
Because it seems like you're in a room.
Josh, you said you'll be needing help next year.
Oh, I'm sure.
I just might be there.
Give us a ding away.
You know, it's really hard to say how it's going to go.
That's right. You don't know.
You know, you never really know from year to year, especially like in the daycare. You start out with one without waiting. All these kids. In the month of May, we could have filled our school twice in daycare. And then when school started in September, we had one. You know, it's like, oh,
what happened?
We do, you know, I thought we really felt that this is what we were supposed to go into. You know, but now they just and they don't all come full time. They take about 14 or 15
years. We have to get started.
Yeah.
Start somewhere. Like with us, you know, we the first year or 2 years, we expect smaller classes, but then it mushrooms. It's going beyond the right now. Yeah. It's getting busy. Mm-hmm. We just have to be patient and hold the reins.
Yeah.
While it's small, you know.
We have found most mothers insist that their children are potty trained. Oh, and a lot of them really are. They're potty trained. If you take them to the bathroom every hour on the hour and make them go by turning on the water and, you know, threatening to get their life if they don't go before they do it. And we have one little boy that just insists that he never has to go to the bathroom and then he'll stand up and go, oh, and then, you know, 3 or 4 times a day. Stage they're in, you know, the bathroom's kind of fun because it's small, they can reach in his ear and water runs.
Yeah,
he plays in the drinking fountain all the time. I think if we could let him drink the drinking fountain, he'd be sleeping. He'd just not go into the bathroom. He likes the drinking fountain.
Great.
Thank you.
We'll be glad to excuse you. Thank you so much for coming. Thank your family for letting you come.
Oh, you're welcome. They were eating dinner after I left, so they're fine.
Hey, come over and visit us sometime. We'd like to have you. This one is just one night a week. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'll be the next one. The next quarter, I'll have the one on Thursday. We'd like to have you. Bye bye. God bless you. Okay. That's wonderful. Yeah, this stupid thing is still running.